So yeah, let's just go.
Let's just go. Welcome everybody back to Stripped Raw. I'm Cam. I'm here with Dave this
Cam,
time.
Cam.
Yeah.
Cam.
And we are getting back into the Ten Commandments, working our way up in age. So, you know, what are we, about in the 40s now? 50s?
40s. Ooh, look at this. This is different because now we're doing role reversal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now Cam's in the captain's seat. I like this. I appreciate you coming up with this topic. It's good.
It's good to see it from different
perspectives.
Yeah. It's almost a little selfish in my own way too, because I get everybody's broken down perspective in a long conversation.
We're not going to break this down. I'm going to tear this mother wide open.
Yeah. So we're working on the 10 commandments. May not be a full 10, maybe more than 10, but pretty much how each of these individuals, where they're the things that they stand on as men and what makes them who they are. And for this episode, we have Dave. So we'll just jump right into it.
Let me ask you this before we do this. While you're talking and you're like quarterbacking and all this stuff, like me, I'm just admiring myself in the camera. Is that what you guys do the whole time?
Yeah, I'm watching myself.
Yeah, yeah, just watching yourself, vain sons of... What do you think it comes down to Fred's episode, just to cut in there, though? How many points is he going to go over?
That's what every episode Fred's name has been brought up in, because I either say that I'm excited for it or we're like 10 commandments. He's like, I got 27 for you, baby.
Yeah, well, I got 27 in the first hour.
Yep. Yeah. Fred's is going to be interesting, I think. For sure.
Usually any conversation involving Fred is very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
But I saw the one you did with Josh. That was pretty smooth. I saw the one you did with Cobes. And of course, Cobes is a little bit older. He's been through a lot more things in life. We learn from our mistakes and in our history. And hopefully you guys don't have to go through that stuff. The pain. And that's the whole building block of Stripped Raw, right? It's so when you're 25 years old or some 18-year-old and he goes through a breakup or he goes through something. And let's be honest, there's not a lot of... we're going to go over one of these points, emotionally mature dads out there who are willing to open up and like embrace. And sometimes, a dude needs a hug, give him a hug, and these conversations, hopefully it's the best that we can do right now to give somebody that hug or like, this is what I learned, and just be completely vulnerable with it. So not to steal your thunder, I'm going to let you rock with it. And I want you to. And before you kick off your question, the golden question, what are my 10 commandments to being a man? I want everybody out there to know that I'm about to speak from the guts as if I'm talking to my 9-year-old son. And these are the principles that I teach him. There are two boys in the wife's belly right now. We are 28 weeks strong, starting the third trimester. There's two boys in there. And these are the same conversations. These are the principles that I live by right now. And growth is a big thing in life. It's another point we're going to talk about. But for me right now, currently 39-year-old Dave, this is what I've learned so far. And of course, these points can change. But as of right now, this is what I'm teaching my boys.
Yep.
And you're about to get all of them. All 165.
It's interesting. You pretty much answered a question I like to close out with. But if you want to reframe it any other way, is where were you when you were thinking of these? What is your purpose? People like Josh and I, or me, if I think about making my 10 commandments, is going to be pretty much, what's going to help me move forward, what's professionally mature and all these other things. But I'm not thinking of a place from a dad yet. Josh is hopefully a soon to be dad, is what he wants to be. And was asking if he had that in the back of his head as he was thinking of his, 10 commandments. I know Coves was a big part of that. So I guess elaborate a little bit more on what space you were in, to kind of come with these, relate.
Yeah. I mean, you first came to the shop, it was 2019, right?
2021.
Okay. 2021. In 2021, I was a suicidal, crazy maniac. We'll call it for what it is. I was a broken dude. And then eventually, and this is another point that we're going to go over, is I knew I had to take action for my son, and I had to put the pieces together and try to figure it out. And for me, that's when I started writing Raw. That's when I started writing, journaling, documenting everything every day of everything that I learned. And there are a lot of things that I learned. There's a lot of pieces that I wrote, and I look at my journals and I look at, the things that I've put online, and it's like, man, I got this one word wrong. For the longest time that first year, I put in there a lot that I deserve. Like, I deserve this stuff. And now looking back at it in retrospect, I don't deserve anything. And that's one of the things to me as a man, you don't deserve anything. You have to earn. You have to earn every day. But society has taught us that we deserve all of this stuff. And that's, I was still a child then, where it's like, I deserve this stuff, but I don't deserve anything. Every day I have to earn. But that's the place that I was in, and I really documented. And, you know, I would challenge the rest of the world, you know, to, when you have thoughts and feelings, like, write that stuff out, get it out, not only to get it out of your head. And that's something we offer through the Strip Raw Box, you know, these writing prompts and the journals, not just to get it out of your head, but just to look at yourself in retrospect. So you could say, like, man, I'm really proud of where I've come from. And that's where I'm at. Like, seeing the things and calling myself out, like, I could see why Dave in 2021 was writing back then that I deserve all this stuff. Because once you deserve it in your mind, you're not going to work for it anymore. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to put your hands inside of it. You're not going to shake hell and burn those calories because you think you're entitled to it. So all of this was 2021. I started writing raw. That's when I really started taking a hard look at myself. And it's gone up into this day. And it's been a hell of a journey. I wouldn't have wished any of that hell on my worst enemy, but I wouldn't have traded one second of it either. Because it's gotten me to where I'm at, and I am very proud. I'm happy. Yeah. And I'm the ability to call myself out.
Now you're looking down from the top of the mountain, you know, at yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the missions for Writing Raw. I mean, not Writing Raw, but Stripped Raw. And it's something that I'm going to talk about in here as well. When we go through and we dissect, we tear apart, you know, what I think as a man, I got to the top of that mountain. And then I understood, like, I don't belong here on top of this mountain. I should be down there in the trenches because I believe in society. I believe in karma. I believe in energy exchange. I believe that my son is going to be out there, and the message that we're spreading, even it's tonight. It's a Wednesday night. It is 8:30 here. The message that we're sharing here will hit some people, and those some people, hopefully that love will spread. And eventually down the road, it'll help Grayson. It'll help the two twin boys further on down the road. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that up on top of that mountain meditating like Rumi. I knew I had to get back down in the trenches because there's a lot of people down there and they're struggling. And you can't, the world can't tell me that we're not struggling as a society. We've been over it a million times. Suicide rates are up. The pill count is up. All of these things are trending in the wrong way. So you know that people are struggling, and it's like, I know that I have the energy for it. I don't know if the universe put me here for it. Pretty sure they did. To get my ass back down the trenches, dig in the mud and help people out. Climb that mountain. I've been up there. I've smelled the air. Is it awesome? Yes, it is awesome. And sometimes it's peaceful. But it's like, I'm a generator by nature. I'm going to get my ass back down there, and I'm going to do work. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Tell everybody else how you got there.
Yes.
There you go. All right. You want to start with number one?
Yeah. All right. Kick it off.
Rocking and rolling.
Okay. Are you going to ask the grand question? You got to lead me into it. You got to feel like I'm walking down a red carpet.
What are your 10 commandments of being a man?
Okay. My first commandment when it comes to being a man is that a man knows his worth. He isn't lying to himself. He is accountable. He knows what he needs to improve on, and he knows his strengths. He's able to take a hard look in the mirror. That's my number one thing to a man. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm bad at. This is what I need to work at. This is what I need to do.
Would you contribute that to confidence? Confidence in yourself?
Yeah. A lot of people get confidence twisted with cockiness. But confidence is having an honest conversation with yourself. And for those of the people out there, they're like, well, when people talk about confidence and cockiness, like, how can you cut through that and have that conversation? It doesn't matter what everybody else is thinking, because the people closest around you will know when you're being confident in yourself. The people that are scared of it, they'll call it cocky. But for yourself, it's That's where you, in grand scheme of things, all of these labels between cockiness and confidence, like, I don't give a shit about any of that. Can you look at take a hard look in the mirror, call yourself out, understand where you need to grow. And that is confidence. That's confidence in yourself, that you're trying to become a better person. For yourself, for your family, for the ones around you, for society. And that's another thing when it comes to when you know your own worth and you're accountable, you understand at that point that there's room for growth, and there's always room for growth for yourself. Growth can come physically. And for that 18-year-old guy who's like, I don't, you know, growth to me means getting bigger in the gym. That's your physical. But there's spiritual growth. There's mental growth. There's social growth. There's emotional growth is huge. Emotional growth is one of the biggest things. And for yourself, if you're not being challenged internally within yourself by taking that hard look in the mirror, then you know you're not growing. And also, it's the same thing, especially for the masculine, to be challenged externally. Not necessarily, like for me in my situation right now, the only people that can challenge me externally are the guys around my table. And my queen, there's one woman who challenges me. And she has the right to do that. She's entitled to all my peace. She is going to challenge me. And younger me, let's say 8 years ago, I would have said, man, she's always messing with my peace. She's constantly challenging me. And I would have put that label out there like, why are you doing this? Like, you're being a bee, right?
Yeah.
But the grand scheme of things is if she sees something bigger in me, and she's going to try to challenge it and bring it out. So growth.
I feel like it's very easy to get stuck on both sides of that fence, though, when you're looking at yourself in the side of, you know, when you're not believing in yourself, you're like, I belong here. You know, I'm not going to grow to be anything more, whether that be in the gym, in the, you know, spiritually, in your relationship, whatever. And then on the flip side, you have the egotistical, like, I'm the best thing ever. You know, I'm grown. I don't have any more growing to do. And I feel like, it's like I said, very easy to get stuck on both sides of that spectrum, where if you're not moving, like at the end of the day, we're like sharks. If you're not moving in one direction, hopefully forward, you're just going to fucking drown, you know?
Yeah. But there's some guys out there who believe, and there's nothing wrong with it. They'll probably believe I could be by myself and I can get through life, and they can. There's some guys, like, they're nomads. And they can live in a cabin by themselves. We know some guys like that. They want to retire on the side of a mountain, and they don't want to do anything else. But for me, these are my commandments, if you will. And I'm a family man. Like, my body's built to build babies. That's what I do. And obviously, the universe wants more of my male specimen, because this house is going to have three boys in it. And this is where I speak from. So, yeah. Accountability, that's my number one. And a man, like, you have to know your worth. You have to know where you stand. And it's not because there's like a hierarchy where Dave is better than you. It's just an honest conversation. We don't have to put each other against each other. This is where I'm looking in the mirror and I'm calling myself out.
Yeah. It's something you have to take a little bit of both into, because pretty much just what I just said, but it's multifaceted, where if you don't challenge yourself, then, you know, like you get stuck or you don't improve. But if you think you're, you know, I'm repeating myself, but yeah,
no, you're good. It's like, we're figuring all this stuff out, because I mean, like I said, we have guys, even if you are like an individual, if a guy was to say like, I want to live in a mountain by myself in a cabin and retire and I want to die there. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't tell me while you're out there in that cabin by yourself, you're not going to hone in on your skills to get better. Either way, that guy's having a conversation with himself to get better, you know, a better shot, because he wants to live off the land. And that's cool. You know, you want to go out there and you want to kill rabbits. Do you want to shoot 12 arrows or do you want to shoot one arrow? You're going to get better. You're going to do target practice. You want to grow the best tomatoes. It's like, you're going to constantly challenge yourself, hopefully, you know, to do something, to taste a better tomato, to only have one arrow in your quiver than 12.
Yeah. Yep.
And to me, that's a man. So like for Dave, challenging yourself, taking a hard look in the mirror for me is so I can make better children, so I could be a better self, so I can raise better children and influence the society around me. And that guy out there, he's like, I never want kids. I just want to live on the mountain by myself. You need to challenge yourself looking in the mirror to use one arrow to kill the rabbit instead of 12, right?
Yeah.
Challenge yourself.
Being the better version of whoever it is you feel like you want to be.
Yep. Than yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. No. That one's really general. It's not like general in the matter of like it covers a lot of things, but that's like a staple, I feel. This is what Coves and I talked about, some of these like foundational ones that if you don't practice that, then the others will probably crumble around it.
True. All right. Number two for me would be to understand that it takes a village to get through life. It takes a village, a community. You have to trust in people around you, trust in the people around your table. Trust in people who invest into your future and who can hold your weight in tears. That's a big one to me. And the next part, we're going to talk about ego. And I did this on purpose. I made this number two for the people that wanted to challenge it so I could follow it up with ego. But surrendering and letting go when you need to let go, when you need to let those emotions flow, when you need to cry in front of the guys, when you need to bring a problem to other guys, to go to your community. You can't do everything. Life is hard. Life is crazy, crazy hard. But we have this belief societally where all of our problems we try to put on our shoulders, and it's like, I'll take care of it eventually. And we end up building things inside of ourselves. We stuff things inside the closet until one day everything in the closet falls over on top of us and we crumble. And by that point, we don't know what to do when all of this crumbles, because this model of resilience that we've been taught in, especially in Western society, we get buried and we don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to ask for help. Whereas if you start in the beginning, like, no, these are the guys, this guy knows how to do this. This guy, I could go to this guy about plumbing. I can go to this guy about my car. I can go to this guy when I need to open up about the things that I'm feeling inside, you know? Understand just exactly who's at your table. I've said this a million times, especially on this podcast line that we've got. But for me, I put it in the metaphor, who do I trust with my wife? That's it. Who do I trust with my wife? And it's short. It's a very, like, I've got 10 fingers, and it goes lower than 10 fingers on how many guys that I trust with my wife. And those are the guys that I know I can go to for anything. And I mean, I know what your experiences is. I know what your experiences are. And I know what I can go to you with. And I know what I can go to Cobes with. And I know what I can go to Fred with, you know. It takes a village in life for any one of us. Now, for that guy that's out there on the side of a mountain who's like shooting his own rabbits, sure. You don't believe this, and that's cool. Like, I don't care. This is what I am teaching to my boys. It takes a village.
So where is that line between stepping up as a man and, you know, for the use of better words, figuring shit out, figure it out and get it done, and relying on that village? Because I feel like there is a barrier there where it's like, well, you're using.
Well, you can, in your own words right there, you said, when you can be a man and you can figure it out. Being a bigger man is having the ability to go to the guy next to you and saying, this is the problem that I'm having, and I've spent 30 seconds inside of my head trying to figure this out. And having that trust with that guy. That guy, and if you keep going to him, eventually, and we're going to get into this point later too, he's going to say, hey man, you come to me with all your problems. Some of this you're going to have to figure out in order to etch in your own, and that's completely true. There are things that you are going to have to figure out yourself, but there are some things where it's like, man, I can't make sense of this and I need to get outside my head. Village time.
Yeah.
Straight up. And people are going to know your worth. Point number one, they're going to know your worth, what you bring to the table, and they're going to offer that guidance and they're going to be there for you.
Yeah.
All of this ties in. All of my points, it comes back to I call it a village. The bigger picture, it's society in whole. All of it. Every ounce of everything I'm talking about comes right back to society. We are an animal species, humans. We are a warm-blooded mammal. And all animals are a community species. We are no different than them, except we can talk with words. We can worship with religion. We can do all these other things by communication. We are no different than them. Community species. It all comes back to community.
Relying on each other's skills.
Correct. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We need each other.
That's an interesting perspective. Cobra surprised me a lot with his perspective on everything, too. But I'm shocked that that's one of yours. I'm saying, but like, just to like be honest, I don't know. I don't know why that
society
shocked me, but it makes
sense. Me right now. How about that? Society angers me. It does. But I mean, that's why, to me, it's like, if it angers me, and I'm going to talk about this in number, I've got my notes right here. Number 9 is going to be take action. So instead of it just angering and like just talking about it, why don't we do something about it? And that's the goal for this entrepreneur business ship thing that we're doing. There's a reason that we're talking at 8:30 on a Wednesday night. Because we need to talk about it in order to take action, not just for us. Like, our time's done. Dave's almost 40, right? Time's almost done. It's to make a better world for the kids. And that's my perspective. For you, Cam, it could be this is making a better world for you. But for me, it's like, this is for my kids, for my brothers at the table, like you. Like, it's for everybody else. My benefit is I know that instead of just sitting here and just being disgruntled and like the world is a crazy place and blah, blah, blah. And you just complain and just bitch about it all the time. Do something about it, man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the comments that I get on Writing Raw through Stripped Raw, we advertise our You Matter boxes through Reddit, through Facebook. And people come on there like, nobody will ever buy into this. Nobody will ever do that. I did 15 years and in the military and all this stuff. And it's like, well, what are you doing about it? Besides just bitching, that's all you're doing right now. And you're just wasting everybody's time and you're just spreading negativity. Do something about it. Make a better product. I don't care. It'll be awesome. I'll endorse the hell out of it. To everybody listening, like, this is all crap. I'll endorse the hell out of you. If you come out with a better topic, spend your time, invest your time, come out with a better thing, and I'll endorse the hell out of it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so at the end of the day, that's why I've closed out both of these previous Ten Commandment episodes with, like, you know, we're not doing this for fun at the end of the day. You know, like,
we're not making any money on it.
Yeah. Sitting at 8:30 on a Wednesday night isn't my idea of fun, but pushing this information, like, I'm so grateful for the amount of things that I've been able to learn from you guys. And I just want to, same as you guys, give it to everybody that is possible, especially the people that really, really need it and are struggling with these things. Like, they're just out there grasping for air.
I can see that intrinsic love inside of you because your eyes are smiling right now. And your cheeks
are glowing.
What
do smiling eyes look like?
Smiling eyes. You know what I'm talking about, bro. All right, 3. A man has to be a master of his own ego. This is a big one to me. This is what a lot of Western society right now, today's modern day male, his ego is clouding so much stuff. A man's ego should not be a defender of his emotional immaturity and his insecurities. The ego should be, and I take this is something very true to me. This is one of the biggest things that I learned going through all of, especially Writing Raw and all the journaling. Because initially I thought, because of everything I read, your ego needs to be destroyed, gone for good. And that is pull pure 100% grade A bullshit. Your ego needs to be a monster. And I mean a monster inside of you. You have to have that monster. The world's a dangerous place. So a lot of people, when they get to the top of that mountain and they're all meditating, they're happy. It's glorious because people have made it up there. But how much of the population actually make it up there? Not a lot of people. down in the trenches where a lot of the world is. It is a ugly place, and there are ugly things, and there are ugly people, and there are ugly situations. And in order to protect yourself, and especially from my perspective, my family, my house, I've got a monster inside of me. And I finally have the ability to control this monster. And it's sitting in a cage. And the only person that has a key to my monster is me and my wife. Now, there are times that I come home on a Friday night, and Cam, you might want to plug your little 14-year-old ears on this one, but it's like there are times she gives me a look in her eyes that she needs to be stapled to the wall when I come home. She just gives me that look, and I know, like, this woman needs, she needs me, if you will. There are times I'm playing soccer in the front yard with my kid, and the ball goes out in the street, and he goes to run after it because he doesn't know any better, and he's going to go after his ball because that's his pride and glory, and there's a car coming down the street. And I'm going to dig inside that dirt and run as fast as I can to get that kid out. That's my ego coming out. I have a key to my monster, and I don't let it out all the time. There could be people out here who make comments or cut me off in traffic and that type of stuff. It doesn't matter to me. Now, in the past, my ego would be like, who the hell is that person to cut me off in traffic? Does he even know, like, who I am, where I'm going? Mm-hmm. But do I know that person's situation? That's my ego, keeping myself in check. The ego is necessary in a man. The ego is necessary in a woman too. It lets you know your worth. The thing is, can you control it? And that's a commandment for a man. When we grow from children, and I've watched this in my own son, it's like a little boy walking his dog. Initially, it's a puppy. It's that monster. He's walking his puppy. And we go through the teenage years, and it's like learning to understand how to control this now, you know, 13-year-old dog, if you will, that you have on a leash. And sometimes that dog lets loose. You're going to get in fights in school. You're going to lose your composure. That ego is going to come out. You're trying to understand your hormones. But there is zero excuse as you get older in life not to understand yourself, to grow within yourself, to have that honest conversation in the mirror in order for you to put your ego in check. There are times that people are going to say things. Initially in your 20s, you'll bite your tongue. When you're in your 30s, you won't even think about biting your tongue because you know that you're in check. Mm-hmm. I'm in check. When you are married, when you have a fiance and another woman walks by and you could smell her perfume, do you think that's you smelling perfume? Is that your ego? Is that your animal inside of you who's smelling that perfume? That ego is you putting that thing in check saying, yeah, you can smell it, but I'm not going to pay any attention to it. That's mm-hmm. you putting that ego in check. The ego is a huge thing. I should open a course about male ego and for guys how to like keep that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, we talk so much about it. I forget how many episodes we have on it. We've probably brought it up in about 90% of them. But it's just such a it's such a unique and powerful thing. I think about it like a hammer, right? Because to me, the ego is a tool. Yeah. And hammers, great tool, does a lot of great things, builds houses. It's the primary tool. Hammer can also do a lot of fucking damage, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous weapon, and it is. That's just how I wrap my head around ego. Is it's powerful, but you see a lot of people who just don't have control over that, and they're flinging.
That's
it
the thing. It's control, and that's what like a commandment as a man. You have to have control over it. You have to understand it, because I think deep down in every man, it's like, I know I'm supposed to have this ego, but nowadays we're like, we're questioning it. It's like, no, you mm-hmm. shouldn't question it. You should have your ego. It's just up to you. Do you know yourself well enough to keep this ego in check? That's it. That's the question. And can you answer that? Yes or no? Is your ego in check? Who has access to your ego? And we're going to get to this next point. Number four, emotional maturity. Every man should have emotional maturity. A man has to be able to receive feedback from his brothers without being hurt. And it's if you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. Your feelings are going to get hurt a little bit. But can you accept that feedback? When your ego gets loose, if you will, and somebody is to say like, hey, man, you shouldn't do that. Do you have your emotions in check? You can't have an honest conversation even with yourself if you have the emotional aptitude of a child. Man, you
exactly
can dive,
what I was about to say.
Dive way deep into it, right? About like mm-hmm. inner child and all of these labels. Do you have your emotions in check? When you approach a conversation and somebody is giving you honest feedback, even if it's impersonal, let's just say it's, let's get raw with it. Let's say it's in the bedroom, right? And you're a guy and your woman is saying, hey, that was good, but it could be better if you did this. And it, she's giving you the keys to herself. And it's a whole like other podcast I want to do, but like the woman isn't sexual, all these things. Imagine if she was to give you honest feedback. If you were to do this a little bit more, I'd be much happier. Can you take that feedback? Can you like accept it? Here we are going through life, you know, surrounded in society by all these sexual things. And we think that I'm the most powerful sexual being in the world. And when you go in the bedroom and you perform, and then she says like, hey, it was kind of underperforming. Could you imagine the blast, you know?
Yeah.
Can your emotions handle that? And it's like, in the grand scheme of things, somebody's just trying to give you feedback. Can you accept all feedback or not?
Yeah. And that's like the true teller of emotional maturity is if you're able to have difficult conversations to begin with, if you're reactive.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that all round robins back to accountability, holding yourself accountable after you blow up on a conversation because it didn't go your way, or just really understanding what happened. I think a lot of people go through that where they'll have a tough conversation and blow it up into an argument, walk away like, oh man, that was messed up, and just never see themselves as
correct. Yep. And I'll call myself out on this. I love calling myself out. When my kid was 4 or 5, we created enough of a foundation to where he can come to me with his feelings. And sometimes in his feelings, he would say like, Dad, I wish you would do this more and this less. And that would be like, that would be awesome, Dad. I was like, and I took offense to it because my emotional maturity was of that of a 4 or 5 year old. He's like, Dad, if you were to do this to me, what I heard was through my ears, you could be a better dad. It's like, well, when you tell me this, it makes me feel this way. In the grand scheme of things is my kid was coming to me with an emotion that he was feeling. Even though if it wasn't true or not, that's his feeling. It's a reality in his head. And what did I do? I heard it and I deflected on him. And I said, well, when you like say this, it makes me feel this way. It's like, he wasn't asking for that. He's looking at his father, you know, this statue of a man, if you will, and saying like, I have these feelings, but now this man just convulsed and puked on me what he was feeling. And I was trying to come in. I saw it. He shut down. And it was like in the moment, I was like, holy crap. Like, one, why did I do that? And that's when I started tearing myself down even more, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have emotional maturity. I couldn't accept feedback even from my own kid. And then I started thinking about like all the other relationships around me. So it's like, if somebody was to come to me now, the way that I see it, like, with the wife, she comes to me and she said, I'm feeling this way. I'm just a tall, I would say, emotionally numb statue. Throw it on me because this is what you're feeling. This is your time. You trust me enough to open up and say these things. I'm right here. Just throw it on me. And it's up to me and my intuition, like, at what point do I interject if I need to, but at least you have that space. And I finally have learned that, you know.
And once you have that skill, it's crazy. I mean, we talked about it in our pilot episode for the YouTube, was that skill of being able to have those hard conversations, especially with your partner, is just mind-blowing. You know, we're able to sit down and really take the knife out, and it's going to hurt, but, you know, we both know it's for the better, and neither of us react from it.
Yeah. All right. Number 5, a man is present in the moment, right? He learns from past experiences, and the big thing is he prepares for the future. The world wants us to believe today, I believe, that we should always be present in the moment. But men do not have that luxury. Men have to prepare for the future. I don't have the luxury of meditating on top of the mountain all day, like we talked about. The world, and this is something we lose sight of, the world is still a dangerous place. It just, it is. The world is a dangerous place, and I have to prepare for it. But I will be present now when I can. And I focus on the future for my family, for the people that I love around me. A man will not dwell in the past. He's made peace with it. He's forgiven himself for whatever transgressions. And if he needs help getting through those transgressions, like I said, he's going to go to the guys around his table to vent that stuff out. Or he can go in a religious aspect, go to his preacher, whatever it is. You've made peace with your past. You've learned from it. You're present now in the moment, and you're looking towards your future. That's number five.
Do you attribute that to like moving forward? You know, working with what had happened in the past and learning from it, but it's time to put the next foot forward.
You have to. Yeah. But I think for me, all of these points, they all intertwine from my history. All of these other ones revolved around this one, number five, being present in the moment. It was really hard for me to be present in the moment. Very hard. But I had to learn about, I had to unpack myself. I tore myself down to the bones. I skinned myself. I mean, I cried. I ugly cried a lot. I called Cobra nonstop because I was thinking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to do that. And people need to do that. Sometimes you have to go back, like, what is this that's causing this? And you have to unpack it. And there's nothing wrong with that. In order to be a man, it's like, is there something that's happening right now? Even if it's happening in your own head that was in the past, it's like, yeah, it's happening right now, but what am I going to do about it? And it goes back to the point we're going to hit about taking action about it. Instead of swallowing it and sticking it inside the closet, what are you going to do about it? You don't have to do anything about it right now. It could be on the table and you'd be like, I'm going to shelf this for right now because there are other priorities that need to happen, but I am aware of this thing. Yeah. And I need to focus now and moving into the future. Even if that thing is on the shelf and it's in the future shelf, you're going to unpack it. And you're going to handle it. But the biggest thing is being present. Like now, the world needs you now. It doesn't need your mind and how you feel bad for yourself 5 years ago and all the things that have happened. Take action. What are you doing now?
Yeah. I like that one a lot. I think back all the time to La Pera and conscious breathing to kind of take yourself back into the moment, like you're saying, live in the present. And it's just, you know, it's something I do just by habit now. Yeah. And anytime I don't have much to look back to in the past anymore, which is crazy to think about because that's all I did for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I feel like I'm on a train that's not stopping.
Well, I think when we focus on the past, our cortisol gets pumping. We start reprogramming our own mind to everything we're seeing is just bad. So it's like this negative outlook on things. And eventually what you do is you apply it to every facet of your life. Cortisol's pumping, even if you look into the future. And fear only lives in the future. Fear doesn't live presently in the time with you right now. Fear only lives in the future. If you're to focus on in the moment right now, like, do you have breath? Is that thing you're scared of from the past or even in the present that you're afraid of? Is it shaking you right now? Like, is it in front of you? It's like, no, it's not in front of me. Okay. So everything's okay, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're just burning minutes, seconds of your life worried about these other things, and it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying like your past triggers, that doesn't matter. If you were to take, like, I acknowledge this thing that's driving me crazy, I'm going to put it on the table in front of me, and I don't have the answers to it, but maybe, just maybe, if I put it over here on the shelf, I'm aware of you, I see you, and eventually one day I'll have the tools to address you, then I'll address you. So focus right now.
Hmm.
What's the priorities right now? And that's leading me into number six. Number six for me, the problem right now is a man has to be a contributor to society. He has to contribute to society. And it's not necessarily for society as a whole. It's, or it is. Society as a whole. because I do believe in karma. I do believe in energy exchange. I do believe the things that you do will influence the world around you, and it'll come around. And like for me, what I believe is it'll influence and it'll help the three boys that are here in my life. I think it'll be better for you. The more that we talk about this coming from this 40-year-old, it's going to influence Cam's life when in 8 more years. A man has got to contribute to society. And what got me here? What made me think about this? Do you remember the conversation we had at the shop? We said, if you were at a bar and you see a woman get slapped, do you do anything about it?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys, a majority of the guys, they would say, yeah, you step in because a woman doesn't get hit.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple who are like, it's not my business.
Yeah. It's like shocking to me. I don't know.
Yeah. It blew my mind. But there are people out there who are like, it's not my business. And some things out there socially, it's not your business. But if it's happening right in front of you, it's in my space, it's in my peace, air space, if you will, it is my business. It is my business. Yeah. I don't believe in those things, and I'm going to stand up and say something about it. If you're walking down the street.
I think you're about to do it anyways. You're going to ask some examples of like contributing to society. Yeah.
You're walking down the street and let's take it out of the bar scene. You're walking down the street and a woman falls down. Do you help them up or is it not your business?
Yeah.
If a guy falls down, do you walk on past him or is it not your business? Like guys shouldn't help guys. No, dude falls down, man. Hey, brother, you okay? What's wrong with saying that? Yeah. We do it subconsciously anyway. We're thinking it. Like, man, I hope that guy's okay.
I think that just boils down to being a good person. Like, not even a good man, but this is like moral foundation stuff, I feel like.
You're driving home. It's a 12-hour day, and a car crashes in front of you. Do you stop or not?
Yep.
Subconsciously, what's your body telling you? Right?
I've watched a majority of people pass. Right. I've watched.
I got things to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A man contributes to society. That's it. A man contributes to society. And here's the crazy part. I talked about this to you guys in the shop this last Halloween. This is how, like, I'm a giver. I'm a generator. I'm a dad. Above everything, I am a dad. It was Halloween, walking down the sidewalk, and this four-year-old, roughly, this little girl, she trips over the curb, and she goes to fall down. I reach my hand out to, like, grab her. And inside of – that's my subconscious thinking. But my conscious thinking came in, like, will the mom and dad want their kid to fall down so they learn? Will the mom and dad say something to me for grabbing their kid? Will the mom and dad – and I go through all these things. And today, this Wednesday night, I finally have concluded, and I think about these things in the shower. So I don't care what the mom and dad thinks. As much as I do, and there's respect there, subconsciously, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to reach down and grab that kid before it falls down, slaps its face on the curb, which it did, and her nose was bleeding. And maybe it's a Halloween picture, and they all learn from it. But it's like, as I'm standing there, it's like, no, I'm going to contribute to society in the way that I think is beneficial, and I'll grab that kid before it falls down, right?
Yeah.
Because that's who I am. I'm not just a dad to these three boys in my life. Like, it's like, to me, I'm a dad to like all the children out there. If they want to have fun, like, let's have fun. But a lot of the world, they see that as creepy, and rightfully so, because of all these portrayals we have. But I don't care about that stuff anymore. No more labels. Like, I don't care.
Yep. Yeah. For anyone who's wondering what he means by everybody's dad, this past weekend, he was under a mountain of kids under 8 years old, throwing them at a beanbag.
Throwing sounds pretty.
The time of their life.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Like, I love kids, man. Kids should be able just to. It's like when you tap into that energy. Kids are the key to the universe. They are the key to the universe. There's no labels. There's no societal pressures. There's no. Like my 9-year-old, it's like, Dad, I want dreadlocks. His best friend is just Jamaican kid who's awesome. It's like, Dad, I want dreadlocks. And some people tell him, you can't have dreadlocks because you're white. It's like, no, you can have, whatever he wants, man. Like,
yeah,
it's my job as dad to like guide him. It's like when things get too far off, we're skewed and have those conversations. But at the time right now, let the kid dream. Let him be an artist. Let him think. Let him come out with these conversations. I'm not gonna squish everything.
Yeah, I think that shows a lot with. Shows a lot with your son, just as where he's at right now versus other kids where they're at around his age that I've seen. But even as adults, what that does down the road, because, like, I don't know if you make them doubt themselves so early.
Yeah,
I can't see it.
No, for sure. 7 is a man understands his boundaries, what he will and will not tolerate.
Hard lines.
Yeah. Boundaries is a big thing. It's something Fred and I talk about quite a bit. We didn't learn it until we were in our later 30s, but having boundaries for ourselves, especially as generators in this world where we're built to be heroes, we're built to give all the time. And at some point it's like, no, man, I'm not giving to that. I'm not giving to you. My bucket needs to stay filled for the people that I know need all of the water in my bucket. Hmm. I can't give it out to everybody. That was a big one. Boundaries. I will not tolerate this.
So I have a question then for you. I have a kind of a challenge for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you were going through all this and say you made these boundaries, and maybe this hasn't happened, but theoretically, you went through this before you got in the relationship you're in now,
mm-hmm.
and were there any, or what if there were any, that were kind of stepped on through that process of merging with her? And what does that look like? Is it, this is a boundary, so if it can't be met, then,
mm-hmm.
but at what point are you being stubborn or like hard-headed about it?
Yeah. For me, so I went from the divorce, I got into a long-term relationship, 2 years, and it's like I wanted more kids. She's like, I don't want kids. And that was a boundary for me. And up until that point, I got ran over. And I mean, I did it to myself. A lot of things, we attract the energy that we are. I was in a bad space. I attracted somebody who had the ability to run all over me to the point where I was E on my gas tank. I couldn't be there for my kid. I couldn't be there for myself, but more importantly, I couldn't be there for my kid. I had zero boundaries, but I started to understand the impact of time. It's like, man, 37, 38, 39. Like, I want kids. And I knew that this other person, like, it wasn't going to happen. So it was a boundary. And then when I got into this relationship with Jeanette, the wife, it's like, hey, man, one of my number one things, and this is just pure transparency, I want kids. Kids? Yeah, I want kids. All right, cool. Let's cook.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is, I wasn't afraid to like bring this stuff up because of the emotional maturity side of it. I just call it out. It's like a business thing. And I mean, it sucks to say like in the personal relationship, but I mean, there are some things where it's like bullet points.
Are you going to check that box? Yeah.
Boom. A lot of people said you can't check boxes. It's like, no, this is my life. I can frame it any way I want to. If I want to say like, I want check boxes to be checked, then I want boxes to be checked. This is my time. This is my life. It's like, you should never do that because that isn't true love. True love is myself too. I have to pay honor and homage to myself in what I want out of life. And for a lot of people listening who just heard that, that's a scary dude. Because when a dude is like, I can have boxes to check if I want to, because I know what I want in life. A lot of them be like, oh shit, I took back my power. Like, this is what I want. And it wasn't necessarily like the physical attributes, because I don't care about that crap anymore. Now, the wife, she's a stunning stallion, that's for sure. So I got lucky. But all of the other things, socially, emotionally, energetically, spiritually, it's like, no, these were my boxes to be checked. And can you hit them or not? Because this is my time. This is my life. And I respect my time. These are my boundaries. All of these things, they play in, right?
Yeah. So the biggest thing I got from that was making, put those boundaries up, but make sure they're worth something. I'm not drawing a boundary that, you can't put your hair on the shower wall. That's stupid. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yep.
It's gotta be things that are hard set important things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so the next one is honor in your words and actions, integrity. Trust is won in small pieces and lost in huge chunks. So be a man of your word. A man will honor his words and his actions. A man will take action. If you're ever stuck in your head, this is something that came from Dan Kane, the group commander we had years ago. It's like, if there's a problem in front of you, instead of like dancing around it or bitching about it, do something about it. Take action. You have to take action. Even if you can't do something right now, like I said before, put it on the shelf right here in your future where you can take action to it later. But at least take action right now. Do something with it. Mm-hmm. Don't bury it inside your head. Don't bury it inside your heart. Don't bury it inside the closet. Put it somewhere to where you can do something with it. Move. Yeah. You have to move. That's the three things when it comes to like the soft. Find, fix, finish. Do something about it. Find, fix, finish. This is a big one to me, a very big one. It ties in with the ego. Is a man has to be physical. A man has got to play with his kids. And I put it in a very simple metaphor. When I say be physical, that means physically fit. You have to be fit. People say like, well, what's the parameter that I think is physically fit? If your house is on fire, you better be able to get your entire family out of that house. That's what I think physically fit is. If you're driving down the road, you're starting to crash off of a bridge, can you get all of your family members out of that truck before it falls into the river and everybody dies? That's physically fit. Are you doing what you can do? And it comes down to like, it could be as simple as playing with your kids. Get out in the front yard, play soccer. When you have that off time, go squat that shit in the gym. Make yourself active. And the biggest thing is for you to hold your own when it comes to your family.
Yep. That was a big one for Josh, was be a protector. And I mean, I don't know about you. I've seen videos online of people chasing the runaway stroller and they're so out of shape, they can't even run. They keep tripping on themselves. Like your kid's rolling into traffic. What are you going to do about it?
Yep.
You know,
I see it every day. So I go to the park when I pick Grayson up from school. We go to the playground and he wants to play soccer, and all these other kids, they want to play soccer too. And the moms and dads, they're sitting on the bench, they're playing on their phones, they're in their cars, they're playing on their phones. I have no shame to them. You know, do whatever you need to do. There's no judgment coming from me. Just know that your kid is out here playing with a real dad. I'm going to call you out. They're out here playing with a real dad. That's it. Like, I'm not sugarcoating shit anymore. Mm-hmm. I've got a line of 14 kids that want to kick a goal across me, and I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to shut all that crap down, right? But it's like, you just sit over there on your phone. You're just wasting their time. And that leads into the next part. A man respects his time and those around him. When I'm at that park, like those kids, they're spending precious energy. It's when a kid at that age, it's magic. And I am blessed to earn their happiness to be out there with them. I mean, it's beautiful. I feel better. It's almost like after you get done doing a meditation or whatever it is, you know. But being out there with the kids, it's like it's their time in life. A man respects his time, those around him, every moment that he shares. Like, I'm not a guy who's going to sit on the back porch of some random stranger's house for a neighborhood party and talk about how the New York Jets are doing. Like, I don't care about that stuff. What I care about is like investing in people's time. And if it's just for a kid to kick a soccer ball and just to laugh, do what you need to do. At least I know that you have a positive influence force in your life right now. Because to me, what's indicative is when you get home, you probably sit in front of YouTube and they're still scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to my wife, her time is important to me. When she needs something done, and I'm never very idle. I'm not built to be idle. I can't just sit there. So it's like, no, you'll get your feet rubbed. I'm going to constantly like, it's not necessarily to like touch all the time, but I respect your time and I want you to feel as glorious as possible because that's who I am as a generator. And a lot of people could say like, Dave, you're going to burn yourself up constantly doing this. No, I've got other gears that the universe doesn't even fucking know about. I'm going to keep going because I respect your time. You're alive. You're breathing with me. I'm going to make you feel good. That's what I'm going to do. But also going back to the boundaries part is I'm not going to entertain the whole party. I'm not the life of the party anymore. I'm going to conserve that energy. Instead of being on that back porch talking about the Jets, what they're doing, I'm going to save that energy. So when I go home, it's an extra 20 minutes on that foot rub for the wife, if you will, because I didn't burn up those calories and that energy with this nonchalant bullshit conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk a lot about time. It's the number one thing that I've learned all through this entire journey. Time. I'm 39 now. I'm halfway through life. It is my responsibility, I believe, to share the things that I've learned because I respect your time. I don't want Cam, like we talked about, to be 27, go through something devastating, have to go through the same shit that I went through emotionally when there are answers out there. There's other guys that have felt this to try to help lead you through that pain. That's why I don't sit on that mountain anymore. I believe, and this is the final point, that a man knows that he's going to die. A man knows that he's not God. We're all going to die. We're going to perish. A man knows that his flesh will fail him one day. But he also knows that he's going to make use of the bones with the time that he has now. That's a man. He knows that if you were to know that you're going to die in 2 weeks, would you be on social media scrolling the next 3 days?
Mm. No.
What would you do? You would live life to the fullest potential. And it goes back to the conversation we had on the one podcast where I said, Cobes, what would you do if your truck fell off the bridge? What are three things that you would want in your life? Like what three things? What, you got three wishes. You got 5 minutes. What would you want? He goes, man, I don't need three. I would just want one more conversation with my son. And it's like, man, it's so awesome because that's where I'm at now too. Mm. There was a time when I wanted, if like my car was falling off, I'm listening to John Bonham on the drums, doing a line of blow off and hitting the bottle. And it's like, that's where I was back then. Now, what would I want? I just want a conversation with my wife. I want a conversation with my kids. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like me spending my time. All of this evolves around society, like trying to better society. Because I want, instead of me playing goalie out there on the soccer field with all 10 kids, I would love to see all 10 dads out there playing. We could play 10 on 10.
Yeah.
No, let's do work. That's what I want. I think it would be the best influential thing for the children and for ourselves because we'd learn so much from them. And then we can laugh.
Yeah. Honestly, the idea of that, I think it would change a generation.
Oh, absolutely.
If it was the norm for, you know, the dad to throw the ball in the backyard again, like it used to be.
Yep.
I have no quarrels with it, but I wasn't that kid. My dad was working or, you know, doing things on his own. We never, like, you know, granted we had our things, we had racing, but, you know, on the weekends, it was never playing in the front yard. And I feel like I'm playing catch up trying to learn stuff from them. We just didn't have those conversations that I imagine you and your son have when you're out in the yard, you know?
Yeah. Well, and when I talked about growth earlier, it's evolving with today. So today, like video games is a big thing. I'm not a big video game guy, but it's not my time. My time is to share time with my kid, not necessarily for him to be entertained and he's out of my purview, but it's like when he plays his video games, I play with him. And while he's like focused on these video games, he's talking to me subconsciously. So consciously, he's focusing on his controller, doing these things. But subconsciously, he's having conversations with me. And if that's how I can get it, that's the way I'm going to take it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. It's my job as a dad to build a foundation for him to just open up and to support him.
Yeah.
That's why for me as a dad, all of my commandments evolves around my kids and the world that surrounds them. And that's my job right now in life is to influence as much as the world as I can to make things better for my children. That's it.
Yeah.
That's my version of a man. Those are my commandments.
Man. Yours were, and I knew that this part was going to happen, and I was pretty sure the other part was going to happen, that yours were so in depth and you speak and elaborate so well. I'm just I'm sitting here learning. I don't have anything to add. I don't have anything to say other than a couple questions because, man, those are solid.
I'll be your daddy too, Cam.
All right.
No, man, we're all learning from each other. I'm learning a lot of this from you, from all the guys at the table, from the kids. Like, I'm still learning. We're all learning together.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, right now in life is beautiful.
Hmm. It's great to see. I think I've said that a couple times on here, but I don't know. From when I first got there and seeing where you were, not even knowing what I was looking at, to figuring all that out and watching you climb up, and it was just, I don't know. If I was in that position, it would be inspiring. I don't think it's inspiring, but it's, I don't know. It's awesome to see.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you, brother. I'm proud of where I'm at. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. All right. You want to run through a one-time list for them?
No, we're going to have to hit that fresh.
Okay.
But yeah, if you want out. Okay. I see what you're saying now.
Yeah. Okay. Just a round robin it back, and then we'll do a reel some other time.
Yeah, cool. So we're going to start from the top. A man knows his own worth. A man knows that it takes a village to get through life. A man is a master of his ego. A man has emotional maturity. A man is present, and he doesn't focus on the past. He's looking into the future because that's what the world needs. A man is a contributor to society, and that's a big one. You have, like all of society, that you have to contribute to it. A man understands his boundaries and what he will and will not tolerate. Boundaries are huge. A man will honor his words and actions. Otherwise, it's known as integrity. A man will take action to anything plaguing his head or his peace around him. A man is physical. He plays with his kids. A man respects his time and the time of the ones around him. And ultimately, a man knows that he's going to die.
I like how you close that out. It feels, I can tell why it's the last one, and it makes sense, and it's kind of brings everything around.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. That's the one I had to learn hard. That was from Cobra. He said everybody's playing God mode.
Oh, yeah. Man, he's a quiet one, but man, he spits out something every now and then.
Yeah, I know he does. Just got to drag it out.
Yeah. All right. This is great. I don't know if I'm trying to take it all in or I'm just speechless sick.
You look sick too.
A little bit down too.
Yeah, I can tell. A little rosy cheeks. Either that or you're blushing.
A little bit of both, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah. But man, this is great. This is awesome. I can't wait for the others, but man, I love reflecting on, I think I'm going to enjoy reflecting on this one.
No, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks you for putting all this together. It's been awesome.
All right. Make sure you guys like, share, comment, all that stuff, but comment.
Soak it in. Spread the love.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make sure you share it. That's the important part. That's what I was getting around to.
Yeah.
Find somebody who this will help. That's the main purpose.
That's all of it.
All right. Thank you, guys.